Yeah, so we're going to talk about vermicomposting, Holly. And vermicomposting is different than composting that most people do in their backyard.
Right. And before we do that, do you want to talk about Cousins Compost?
Well, Cousins Compost is a sponsor of our program, and they do provide a number of vermicomposting supplies, including their new Royal all natural worm bedding. You can shop Cousins Compost and use coupon code REDWORM21 and get 10% off your order. So they've got some supplies there in which we will be talking about that you may need in order to vermicompost.
Right. So vermicomposting, as you mentioned, is different than just like regular composting.
A bin in the backyard turn it in either hot compost or cool compost.
Right. So this one, you're having your worm friends help you. So it's a process of composting with worms. So what happens is the worms digest, and there's an aerobic decomposition, and it's activities of micro and macroorganisms at room temperature. So it's also known as worm composting, and it produces a rich organic soil amendment, and that contains a diversity of plant nutrients and beneficial microorganisms.
Worm castings.
Worm castings, or the worm waste, whatever you want to call it. Now, before you go, you get excited and you're like, I'm going to go dig up some worms from your backyard. You don't want to use those earthworms. You want to use what are called red worms or red wigglers.
Well, I want to back up just for a minute here. And, you know, whenever you compost in the backyard in a bucket or a barrel or in on the ground, there's a certain amount of worm activity. However, this is different because we are utilizing the worms as being the composters rather than the heat, the cool or the greens and the browns in order to do that thing.
Right. This is typically done in your home.
In your home.
Inside your home.
In a controlled environment, whether right. that be your home, your basement, a shed, a garage, something with shelter right. that is specifically designed. Yeah.
Yep. So you want to use the red worms, the red wigglers, and you can get those online. We'll talk about that. But they can double their population within 2 months. So if you do this right, your worms will double their population. So you might ask, okay, do I need special equipment? Maybe you've seen worm composter setups in gardening magazines, whatever, but you don't need special equipment.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, you can keep it simple. So you can use like a big plastic bin. You can use even just a styrofoam cooler.
But there is some maintenance or some things you have to do to those items right. in order to make it do what it needs to do.
Right. You could build something with wood, but if you do that, you don't want to use cedar. So it would be best if you just use like a plastic bin or a styrofoam cooler, something like that. But you do want to put numerous holes on the bottom, and then on the bottom half of the container, about halfway up, just like a couple rows. And then when you do that, you would also put this thing on like stilts or stakes or whatever
to help elevate it a little bit.
Yep. Or if you just have like, you know, some old wood, it doesn't have to be fancy, but just kind of elevate it off the ground.
And the reason for the holes is one for aeration and also for drainage as well, for the liquids that can potentially come out of the material that you're putting in. And then we'll talk about the castings and how do you extract those in a little bit. But that's the two reasons. Worms got to have air just because they live underground. Underground has air.
Right.
And they got to have the right moisture consistency because in the earth, if it's too wet, they go somewhere. If it's too dry, they go somewhere. That's why you don't put worms in a container grow bag on your patio, porch, or deck, because 9 times out of 10, they're going to die because the environment is not correct for them.
Right. And so it doesn't smell like it shouldn't smell, which
if done correctly.
Right. Yeah. If done correctly. And I think that is probably a question that people might have in their mind, like, is this going to stink? Because you want to keep it in a room temperature area, and then also stays like consistently dark. And you could do a basement, but a lot of people, if they don't want to keep it in their basement, they'll put it like under their kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. And then I could get that concern. But you would definitely want to have some sort of like drainage pan or something underneath it.
Well, it's kind of like when you have a cat. If you do everything right, people don't know you have a cat because right. there's no odor.
Right.
Yeah.
Very true. So you want to get, when you get started, what you want to do is, you know, once you have your bin set up, ready to go, then you're going to fill about half of the bin with moist shredded newspapers. Mm-hmm. And this is going to act as like a filter. Also just It's something for the worms to live in.
Or Cousin's Compost is royal, all-natural worm bedding. That will also work.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So this will help, and then you want to take a handful of garden soil, which will then help the bin with microorganisms, and it'll provide those worms sand, and they need that sand to do to help their gizzard grind the food. Their digestive system, yep.
And the neat thing about worms, you're like, well, they'll double their population in 2 months. Well, what do I do then? The neat thing about worms, these red wigglers, they won't overpopulate themselves. Once they get to a population and they know this internally, they'll stop reproducing and they'll just live their happy little life. And that's why you can take another bin and duplicate this and take half that population out, move over and multiply this very quickly and easily and have a lot of worm bins to break down your kitchen waste and your kitchen scraps to good compost.
I really like this idea for people who live – I mean, even if you live in a hot climate, you don't want to necessarily have a compost pile. But if you live in a colder climate and you're like, what do I do with all my kitchen scraps during winter, it's a really good idea.
Right, because we have taken them and just dumped them in the pile and they just sit there. I mean, we don't actively turn the pile every 3 days during the winter, and we kind of don't do that in the summer either. But this is a way where you could – and then you could do it, and we'll talk about it. You can take those worm castings and then feed your indoor plants with them.
Right. So once you have your bin set up, you got your wet newspaper, you want to add your worms, and you want to purchase those online. Again, red worms or red wigglers is what you want.
Not earthworms, because that ain't going to end well.
Not night crawlers, whatever. So then you place the bin in a room temperature area, which we had kind of talked about. But when you add your food scraps, you want to make sure you do this minimally. So you don't want to say, oh, here's my banana peel. I'm just going to put it in there. And then 10 minutes later, oh, I cut up this tomato and I got the stem and put in there. Kind of be conscious about it. Maybe do it once a day. Maybe have like a little area where you keep your food scraps. Because the worms, once you expose them to light, they don't like that so much. So they're going to go down deep. It's not the worst thing, but if you can...
If you take your pills at a certain time of day, do this at a certain time of day.
Right. And then when you do that, you do want to bury the food scraps. You don't want to just like toss it to the top. You want to put it underneath that newspaper. And you want to keep... You want to replenish the wet newspaper as needed, because they will eat the newspaper as well. Or if you sift out the castings, then you would refresh with new newspaper.
So we're using the newspaper is basically the medium or the soil. We're not like filling the tub half full with potting soil and then we're doing all this other stuff. The newspaper is that medium that they're going
to. It's like their home, kind of.
Right. They're going to live in that wetted newspaper.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt them at all.
Right.
No, that's the soil, essentially, what we're working with.
Yeah. And keeping it covered in the food scraps should keep it moist enough. But if you have to, you can always spritz it with some water or, whatever method you want to figure that out. And then a lot of people, there seems to be no fancy way to separate out the worm castings. I'm sure you could probably Google and see if you can find an easier way. But you simply just take and dump your bin out on some newspapers, and then you just sift through, and then you get your worm casting separated from the rest.
Well, the other way you can sort out your worms, let's do a little description here. If your tub is 18 inches width, or right to left, and 12 inches front to back, if you feed your worms new scraps, put them on one side of the bin, and then you can harvest the castings out of the other side of the bin, and you'll get less worms because you got to wait a little bit for all of them to migrate over to eat the new stuff you put in. But that's another way in which you can separate the castings out. And there's also ways in which you can twist you can make a little device in which you can sift it through the bottom into a pan, that type of thing too. So there's many different ways in which to get the castings, but the castings can feed your indoor and outdoor plants. It has a beneficial property in it, which helps fight off bad insects, especially aphids. When the bacteria is uptaken into the plant system and aphids begin to suck the juice out of the plant, the aphids absorb this item and they begin to dissolve from the inside out. So this will work on the indoor plants as well as your outdoor plants.
So one thing I do want to mention is that it's not uncommon to lose an entire colony. Obviously, this is something you want to prevent, but it happens to even like the most experienced worm farmers. Mm-hmm. So that could happen. So if you feel like, oh, I failed, my worms died, I lost my colony, whatever, it's okay. It happens. So just keep that in mind. Like, failure is could possibly be a part of this.
So with that being said, one thing is not a failure is Walton's Incorporated. Whether you're going from animal to edible or you need some seasonings for your cooking, they have everything but the meat.
Yeah, our radio show, the Garden Joy and Holly radio show, is brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from, and canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com. It's an informational website to help you find the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. That's waltonsinc.com or meatgistics.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.